This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast, celebrating the Sunshine State. Here are your hosts, Kathy Celestri and John Kyle. Find Kathy on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Celestri and online at GreatFloridaRoadTrip.com. Find John on Instagram at Don't Make Me Turn This Van Around and online at DontMakeMeTurnThisVanAround.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Florida Spectacular. We're your hosts, Kathy Celestri and John Kyle, and we're here today to talk to you, surprise, surprise, about Florida. How's your week been, John?
Week is good. What day is it? Well, it's Tuesday when we're recording this, right? So.
It's Tuesday when we're recording. This will drop on a Tuesday. And before we were just talking a little bit about all our planned summer vacations.
Indeed.
What's your best Florida vacation ever, you think?
I mean, obviously the Keys are awfully good because they're so different. We did our episode on Fort Clinch and Amelia. That's a good stop. Swanee River State Park is great.
I went to Swanee River State Park last year on your advice, and it was beautiful.
I mean, I went to high school like 10 minutes from there and never set foot in the park and didn't know what I was living next door to. I was like,
there's nothing 10 minutes from there. You're exaggerating.
No, and that's where I lived. I lived in nothing, like in the middle of, I lived in this little hamlet of Dowling Park, which is one of those places where the Swanee River Ferry used to stop when they had such things. And I went to high school in Live Oak. And so, yes, there is nothing there. You're right.
You've perfectly described it. It was what I liked about it so much. So you were saying anyway, Swanee, you were going through your list of your favorite trips ever and basically hitting every place you've ever been in Florida.
Right. Well, when we moved to Florida, that's where we moved. And so my first impressions of Florida were like Tallahassee and Jacksonville. Those were the major metropolises after the growing up in Southern California, you know, the major cities that I was introduced to in Florida, other than Orlando, which is, you know, its own thing, was Tallahassee and Jacksonville. So if you needed something, that's where, you know, we went.
Like Tallahassee and Jacksonville?
Yeah, if you needed to go to Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Gainesville, if there was a mall, like we'd drive past Lake City. Lake City had a movie theater, you know.
And, so we were up there the end of June last year. We were camping, and I remember we were trying to get a hot spot worked out for the camper, which is, you know, it's a constant struggle when you're trying to work from a camper and you also want to camp in these really remote places, is getting a good internet signal. So we had to find a Verizon store, which was interesting. We had to basically go, I think, into Madison. But then I was looking for something because the camper was still pretty new to us. And I'm like, well, I just need to find, like, and I don't love Walmart, but they are very handy when you're trying to find things. You can, you know, certain things, you know, if you can find a Walmart, you can go to. And there was not a Walmart. I mean, it basically said I would have to go to Georgia if I wanted a Walmart. I'm like, well, I guess I don't need Walmart that much. But it's a beautiful area.
Yeah. Well, Live Oak has a Walmart now. That was a big deal. Because when I was there,
Superstore?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, what else, you know, do they make them any other way anymore?
Yeah. We have a neighborhood store right by us.
Yeah. But when I was there, this was in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a Kmart. And then there was a
Payless Shoes?
No, not Payless. Something less. I think it was called Payless, but it wasn't the shoe place. But anyway, it was like the stuff that didn't sell at Kmart. I don't even know. So that's where I bought my first CD player. So dating myself now. So
that's disgusting. So I missed the Walmart. Wow. It was only like 17 minutes from where we were, but it was Live Oak is pretty. You know, one of the things I love the most about North Florida, this is going to sound really weird, is a grocery store called Hitchcock's. Have you ever been in a Hitchcock's?
I don't know if I've been in one. I've seen them though.
So my first experience with a Hitchcock's, you know, I grew up in Central Florida, Central Coastal Florida, we shopped at Publix. I mean, there was an Albertsons briefly, but no, we shopped at Publix. When I was in high school, I worked at Publix again in college, because if you grow up in Florida, I think at one point it actually was the law that you had to have a part-time job at Publix.
They changed that.
Yeah, they changed it. No, but it's, so yeah, I grew up with Publix, but I was working on my first book, and we were driving through Keystone Heights, which is by Gainesville. And we were looking for, you know, every few days we'd have to stop and get some sort of groceries. And I remember Wise buttered popcorn that comes in a bag got me through my master's thesis in my first book. I went through that stuff like a bag a day.
That's good. What do they do to
it
that?
It is really good.
So no, light.
Not really healthy. But you know, worst choices you can make. Anyway, so there were things like that you can't find at like a little produce stand and seafood mart, which is what we tried to do. We try and always find like the local food. So we were looking for a grocery store, and there just wasn't a Publix. So I go into, I think it was Yelp on my phone. I look for grocery stores, and it says Hitchcock's. Well, the first thing I think of course, is like Albert Hitchcock. And I'm like, well, this can't be a grocery store. But sure enough, we found one. We went into it, and I was looking for beans. We make like beans and rice. And I was looking for beans, and you could smell, it was a grocery store. It's not a supermarket. There's a difference. And you could smell the sawdust on the floor from the meat department, which is not something that's a little visceral for most modern day supermarkets. You think about the use of sawdust, but you could smell it. And there's a kid stocking beans in the canned food aisle. And I asked him for some specific type of beans. He says, oh, well, they're over here. But then stands up, and he's got like a leather apron on, like meat cutters used to wear. And he's like, well, but you can get these, and they're much cheaper, and you should really, I was just so impressed with the whole experience, because it was just such a hometown feel. And I'm just, ever since then, I've been a huge fan of Hitchcock's. And whenever we go through that area, North Florida, if we see a Hitchcock's, I stop. Even if we don't need groceries, it's really, there's something very charming to me about a grocery store that's not a supermarket. And that's become also one of my obsessions on these road trips, is trying to find grocery stores that aren't chains. But
throwing that shade on Publix, Kathy, always do.
I can throw a lot of shade on Publix. I worked there twice. They made me wear polyester. It was not a good look. I had to wear round polyester bell bottoms.
You wanted the leather apron, like you were.
I enjoyed working at Publix. I suffer from getting old. Like, so when I worked at Publix, it was super customer service. Like, you didn't just point out the aisle; you walked the customer over to the aisle, and you know this and that. And now, you know, I just feel like, and I sound so old, get off my lawn. Kids today have it too easy at Publix. My boyfriend had to stay every Friday night. They would scrub the floors, and once a month they would wax them. It was like a thing where they worked until 2 or 3. Well, they have a company that comes in and does it now. It's just not the same.
Well, anyway. When we first got to Live Oak in North Florida, and this is 89, the Publix there, and they may still do this, for all I know. You know how like Publix, they will ask you if you need help with your groceries out to your car?
Yes.
At the one in Live Oak, they were required to take your groceries out to your car. You could not deny them the trip to the car. It was required. Like, it wasn't like you maybe could have said, hey, I really, 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 really don't want you to come to my car. But I think that would have probably made them not know what to do. Like, they had to go to your car. And you were not allowed to tip them. Because like, we were like,
well, you're still not supposed to tip them.
No, you're not supposed to tip them. But like, coming from Southern California, where like someone from the store walked you out to your car, you would think they were like going to rob you or something, you know, or they didn't trust you with their cart. It was like, you know, it was this weird thing. And we're like, oh, obviously we have to give this person money. And like, no, we're not allowed to take a tip. And like, it was just, that's culture shock right there. You know,
that's, I guess I grew up with it though. I mean,
were you required to have was this a strictly Southern small town thing, or was this like, would you know, the Clearwater Publix require them to take you to the car in the 1980s, I would say.
Well, I worked at the Largo Publix. Let's be clear. But I also worked in the bakery. I also worked in the bakery, but I don't remember any requirement.
No, never shopped there.
I mean, I was 15. I didn't do my own grocery shopping. I got to college out in Orlando and I was 19 after 2 years at a junior college, and I went shopping and I realized I really didn't know what to buy. Like I was like, what do I buy? Like milk? I drink milk. So I wouldn't be the person to ask, but I do remember shopping with my parents and not having the groceries carried out.
Okay. So I think it was a strictly small town Southern thing. You know, it was either that or you went to Piggly Wiggly or Food Lion. We had a Food Lion. Those were the choices.
My favorite grocery store ever, my favorite supermarket actually is Harris Teeter. I keep waiting for them to come south, but
I think Florida probably will get Ron DeSantis to pass a law that would prevent Harris Teeter from infiltrating. Actually, there may be a Harris Teeter in near the plantation on Amelia Island.
Oh, that would be lovely.
About that.
Fernandina Beach, there is a Harris
Teeter.
There
is, see? Wow.
The magic of the internet. And we just talked about that. How do we talk about Amelia Island and Fernandina Beach without mentioning
Harris Teeter? And I like how this whole episode has become about Florida grocery stores. And I think we need to stick with it here because it is such it's where else, like, you have to pick a football team and you have to pick a grocery store when you're in Florida, right? I mean, I could go on a whole diatribe about how our shopping habits have changed dramatically with the pandemic and inflation and all that good stuff. But Florida is highly protective of its Publix, right?
People love the Publix, the Pub Sub. Don't crap on the Pub Sub.
Publix Sub. I think, Kathy, the problem is, like, because I know, you know, we could talk about what they pay for their tomatoes and all that good stuff. But the thing is, those of us who have lived outside of Florida, and I once lived in the Midwest where I went into a place called Cub Foods and they scanned all my food and I looked down the conveyor belt and there's a second conveyor belt and all my food's like piling up like that Lucy episode where she's eating the bonbons as they come up and all the stuff's like, it's going to like stack up and fall on the floor. And I'm like, you know, can we get a bagger on aisle 9? And then I look around, all the baggers look like me because they're all customers. And you had to bag your own stuff. And I was like, I'm not in Florida anymore. Not in Publix anymore. And the other shopping option in the Midwest was Kroger, which were nice, but they weren't Publix. So you have to understand, we can complain about Publix because it's ours. You know, we have Publix and we can complain about what Publix does or doesn't do for society. But you haven't shopped in other parts of the country where it is much more like, you don't feel like that pleasure, the shopping of pleasure, you know, as they would say.
Well, so yes, Publix is kind of the gold standard for a quality shopping experience.
We can use that in their ad. We can just cut that little clip there. Kathy Silvestri says,
I do not endorse Publix.
Publix is the gold standard for quality shopping experience.
What is? I mean, because that's where shopping is a pleasure. And I mean, that's what they say. They have a picture of George Jenkins up at every store. I will say that Publix, the experience varies from store to store.
I used to live
on St. Pete Beach, which is a heavy tourist area, and they were amazing. Everybody at that Publix was amazing. The Publix by me, which is not actually in Gulfport, but South Pasadena, it's horrible. I mean, there was one, you know, Publix has, and other grocery stores do this too, they hire people with different developmental disabilities to work as backers. And I watched a cashier just absolutely very harshly criticize and belittle the bagger who was really doing the best they could. And I was just horrified. I mean, I left that. I went to the manager. I mean, I was that person. I Karen'd it. That to me is abhorrent. So, I mean, I can't say that every Publix is the gold standard, but definitely, if you've only ever shopped at Publix, I was out in Arizona once, exactly once. And I went with the friends I was staying with to their quote unquote grocery store. And it was, it was like a low rent Aldi. And I love Aldi. I mean, but it was horrific. It wasn't trying to be an Aldi. This was way before Aldi. It was just like crap in the delivery boxes set out on the shelves. And it was literally the Wild West of grocery shopping. So yeah, Publix brings their A game, and it makes everybody else class up a little bit. But
yeah. Well, and you have to, the interesting thing about the cultural significance of Publix is that we have so many tourists who come to Florida. When they come to Florida and they experience Publix, and then they go home and they go, wow, it's so much better than our grocery store down there. Maybe why they moved.
Damn it, Publix, stop it.
I think it's funny because, like, I used to, when I was an oil salesman, I had an account, speaking of Publix subcontractors, whose job was to keep the shopping carts and like all the freezer doors and stuff lubricated so they didn't squeak, so they were in good shape. Like, Publix wants to make sure that your shopping carts don't have a wobbly wheel, you know. There is that sort of attention from top to bottom. Now, obviously, you're going to have, like, you know, the case your experience with the cashier, you know, that's obviously terrible. But I think the cultural significance of Publix, it's kind of like when people talk about, oh man, I remember going to get ice cream at Howard Johnson's when it was a motel and a restaurant, you know.
Oh, I, like, do remember Publix those. Those were great. Thing.
And then it has the Edward Scissorhands connection too, because of the Publix shopping center in Lakeland in this kitschy setting for this like iconic movie, you know, which I think was, you know, totally, it wasn't like, so they didn't pay for that. So I think, you know, there's,
well, they're ubiquitous now. They're like Eckerd's drugstores used to be. If you remember Eckerd's, they used to be way before CVS. No, it was always a Publix and Eckerd's next door to each other.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, it's clear, it is the most expensive grocery store you can go to. There is just no two ways about it.
What about Whole Paycheck?
I'm not sure that there's that much of a difference. And I don't even count Whole Paycheck because I can buy their stuff through Amazon. And a lot of times their canned stuff is the cheapest.
Interesting.
But
see, so where I live in St. Petersburg, we have, famously, the Publixes that are across the street from each other. There was an Albertsons, and then there was a bunch of Albertsons here. And then Publix went around and bought all the local Albertsons. And everybody went, well, what are they going to do with this one? It's right across the street from a Publix. And Publix said, hey, we're going to put in a Publix. So there's a Publix and an Albertsons, or Publix across the street from itself. They're very different. And then there's a Whole Foods going in across the street from OG Publix. And then down the street, we have a Trader Joe's.
That has a what's right next to Trader Joe's? It's
Fresh Market.
Fresh Market, which
to me is what you're talking about. Like, ever. What'd you say about Fresh Market?
Fresh Market, it's all greenwashing there. I mean, it's they make you think you're buying sustainably raised, wonderful things, but most of the stuff they sell is no different. It's just more expensive.
Interesting.
I'm gonna get sued, right? This podcast.
Yeah, I'm
now
like
gonna get sued.
I'm like, no, yeah. I have to say, one interesting thing about Fresh Market was someone told me that they had a stand. Like, you go into Fresh Market in the deli area, and they've got like these big pizzas that you put in the oven. You know, like fresh dough pizza, mm-hmm. you know, already made, and you stick it in the oven, you know, whatever, and cook it at home. But they're like $9.99. But if you go up to the counter, they have like a standing special. Now, this was a couple of years ago, so I don't know if they still do, but you can try it. Standing special for $9.99, you get the pizza and 10 or 12 of their chicken wings for the same price. So basically, they're just going to hand you chicken wings for asking for it. And it was like an all the time standing special. It wasn't like just on Wednesdays or something that you could go in, grab your pizza and say, hey, I want the chicken wings too. And they'd ring it up. All as one barcode.
Are you actually giving Fresh Market hacks on the podcast?
Is this who we want to be? It is a hack. Yeah.
Can I tell my public? I have a great public story that does relate to Florida. That's a happy story.
Okay.
This
is why people are here.
This is no. It's a funny story. It's Florida related. When I was 15 or 16, I worked at the Publix bakery. And, you know, I was a kid, right? This is 15, 16 in the 80s is when we really, very different than 15 or 16 year olds today. And I was very intimidated by authority. And I had, of course, the Publix bakery had the bakers. Those were the guys in the back. And then we had our cake designer, Diane, who was, you know, just amazing. And then there was the counter girls, which is, you know, they were all girls, beige polyester bell bottoms. And our supervisor was this woman named Lucy. And I thought Lucy was ancient. She was probably 60, maybe 65. And she was kind of assertive. Let's go with assertive. And so I was very intimidated by it. Like, she wanted stuff done right. And, you know, it might be a pleasure to shop at Publix, but back then it was, they were exacting with their staff. And so I was clearly did not want to get in trouble, didn't want to have her speak sternly to me. So I was always very careful. And Publix used to, it's laid out differently now, but they used to have all their bread and rolls. Nothing was bagged up. Nothing was self-serve. It was all behind the glass and people had to come up and ask for them. And we had what we called Chicago hard rolls, and they were 19 cents each. And they're just like little rolls that you can, you know, I don't even know how to describe
them. Still have them.
Maybe they do. I can't eat any of that stuff anymore. So this guy comes up one day and he asked for some Chicago hard rolls. And I put them in a bag, gave it to him. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Have a nice day. And he goes off. Oh, these are not hard. I am from Chicago and I know that how these are supposed to. And he goes into this whole thing about how horrible bread is in Florida and how Publix can't get hard rolls right. And I mean, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, well, sir, this is what we have. I mean, yeah, I'm 15, 16 years old. I didn't make the damn things. I'm not saying any of this to him, but I'm like, I don't really know what to do with this. This is my first experience with somebody just ripping into Florida and blaming me for it because his rolls weren't the right hard rolls. And so I see Lucy come up, my boss, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get yelled at. She's going to yell at me. I don't even know what I did wrong, but that was my instinct because she was so stern. And, you know, obviously if the customer was upset, right? The customer's always right. I had done something wrong. And Lucy comes up and she stands next to me at the counter and she folds her hands on top of the glass case. And she says, sir, what's the problem? And so he starts to go into her and she cuts him off. She goes, well, sir, that is the beautiful thing about the interstate. It works both ways. And if you don't like it, you can leave. And after that, she was my absolute hero. I mean, I would have done anything for her that she asked me to do because, you know, it was before the bumper stickers. If you don't like how we do it down here, take I-95 north. Before all that, she had just, and she wasn't born here. I mean, she had an accent. So you know, she's probably from Boston or New York or something too. And she was just done. And I thought, man, she's going to yell at me. But instead she was like, you know, just step back, buddy. It's just a roll. Get
you know,
over
you know how when you buy a box of, you know, whatever, some kind of a boxed meal and it's, it has the instructions, use this much water and then simmer. And then they have those, those directions for like, if you're at high altitude, right?
Yes.
If you're like in the mountains. Florida is like that for a lot of things, but baking would probably be one of them. And you probably could follow the exact same instructions to make a Chicago hard roll in Chicago and get a nice Chicago hard roll. But you come down to Florida and it's a humid place. I read that the Columbia restaurant, when they make their Cuban bread, it comes out different at their different restaurants because of the climate differences between the one in Tampa and the one in St. Augustine and the one out in Sarasota. So your Chicago roll isn't going to be hard and crusty the day it's baked in Florida because it's you know, the humidity is just so much different.
It's a little moist down here.
Yeah,
it can be moist.
A little moist. So
I love that word.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
It's well, so when I've heard all the reasons, you know, our water is different and supposedly there's a pizza place in St. Pete now that is shipping in their water from New York to make the dough. And
they bought this machine for like that an obscene amount of money that takes our tap water and treats it. And so that it comes out the other side like New York water so that they can mix it with their dough and make a New York slice of pizza.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I know this is probably not a popular opinion, but if you care that much about having New York pizza, you probably need to eat it in New York. And JetBlue has cheap tickets. You can go up for the day, get a pizza, go to Sal's and Mamaroneck, come back home. It'll be delicious. That's beyond me that that's what people choose to care about. Like, with all the things we could focus on in Florida that could be doing better, our pizza crusts and our hard rolls, they're just not at the top of my list.
I just think, like, if you're going to that trouble and you think it's the minerals and the hardness of the water, maybe this is true to make the New York pizza crust taste like the New York pizza crust. You know, I would defy them to use the two waters and make two slices of pizza and get that discerning palate to determine the difference between the piece made with the New York filtered water and the Florida water. So I got a machine that costs half the price that'll make the same thing. It's called a pitcher of water.
Oh,
you know, like I could save you the investment, right? But I think when, you know, we started on grocery stores and we talk about, you know, we like to compare things, you know, from where we were, like if we were a Midwesterner who came to Florida and we go, well, this just isn't this isn't quite the same. We want to have the things we love, but we want them here, right? It's like going to the Skyline Chili, you know, the Cincinnati Chili chain up in the Midwest. There was like one in Clearwater. So
yes,
presumably the owner could have a house in Florida and count it as a tax write-off or something. You know, we always got to have one of those things that belong. And Tim Hortons coffee, the Canadian coffee, is now, you can get it down here. I keep seeing signs for it, you know. We have to bring it here. So eventually, here's the question. Are we going to get a Publix in Toronto?
Oh, my God. That's well, they're moving north. I mean,
they're even in Virginia, maybe.
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
And is Publix special once it's in Virginia? Well, once they cross the Mason-Dixon, once there's a Publix in New Jersey, is it Publix anymore?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because they spend a lot of money advertising in like Garden and Gun magazine, which is a magazine that will have heated arguments on, you know, people will reply to them if they write about Texas or Kentucky or other states. I mean, I've seen people write into the magazine or go on Twitter and blast them for even talking about.
Because that's not Southern.
Yeah, Maryland. Don't talk about Maryland. You know, it's not part of the South. Like, so I can't imagine, you know, Publix is spending a lot of money advertising this magazine. They are the Southern grocery store. So I can't imagine.
You know, it's funny. The funny thing, though, is I don't really think of Publix as Southern, you know.
But that's like how they're positioning themselves. I think of it as a Florida store.
Yeah, I think of it as a Florida store. I would say like Piggly, I would say Winn-Dixie is Southern. Right? Wouldn't you say they're a Jacksonville? That's a Jacksonville thing, right? Winn-Dixie.
Winn-Dixie. I mean,
I feel like my wife has told me that she went to high school with somebody whose name was Winn, not Winn-Dixie.
It's a very Southern name.
Yeah, I could be wrong about that. She's from Jacksonville.
Well, here from Jack's Daily Record is the history. The Winn-Dixie name began taking form in 1939 when the Davis family, who owned the Table Supply stores in Miami, bought 51% of a chain called Winn and Love It and adopted that name. Moves its headquarters to Jacksonville in 1944. 1955, it buys Dixie Home Stores and renames the company Winn-Dixie.
There you go.
And that is straight from the Jacksonville Daily Record.
So why isn't Winn-Dixie the Florida grocery store? I mean, that's...
Have you been in a Winn-Dixie? Have you ever shopped in a Winn-Dixie? The day they open, they're spectacularly clean and never
again. It's amazing. Yeah. Like, I went to when it first opened and it was like, oh, wow, I'm shopping here 2 weeks later.
And you go back 2 weeks later and there's paper towels against the cooler. The one
across from your Pasadena Publix, the Winn-Dixie there that used to be the cash and carry, I think. Isn't that a Winn-Dixie now?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And we shop there. I mean, I have some.
You shop there now?
Yeah, we try to. I try not to shop at Publix. I really do. So my big thing with Publix, more so than political contributions, because I know everybody likes to make a big deal about that. My issue with Publix is the produce, the coalition of Mockley workers, and the fact that they've steadfastly refused to buy their produce, their Florida produce, from farms that pay their workers a living wage. Walmart does it. Trader Joe's does it. Publix could certainly afford to do it. There's been studies that would bring up the price of tomatoes, maybe 5 cents. And Publix just says, well, we can't pass that on to our consumers. So I really try. I do not buy produce. I think I bought a packet of organic blueberries at Publix once in maybe the past 5 years. I do not buy Publix produce. I'll buy other Publix stuff if I have to. But I tend to try and find local produce stands to buy the produce. I do a lot of shopping at Pasadena Produce, right. Local guy. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, Winn-Dixie, we go there and I mean, if we can't find the produce anywhere else, that's where we get it. But it's weird. Publix has a weird corner on things. Boar's Head. Do you eat any Boar's Head cold cuts?
I mean, I don't go out of my way. Honestly, when I go to Publix, I generally don't, unless it's the bakery and they don't, if they don't, like the reason I go to Publix is because before the bakery, because our son will, the only bread he likes is the Italian bread, not the Chicago Italian bread, but the Italian bread. And so I usually go there and I buy two or three loaves and that'll get me through to my next Publix trip. But I'm kind of one of these people now who goes to Aldi for certain things. Like I found the same oatmeal in a different box at Aldi for like half the price that I was paying for a brand name at Publix. I'm like one of those people. I used to be the person who said, if I can't get it all at Publix, like I went to Trader Joe's and they didn't have beans.
I remember the great black bean scandal.
Yes, no beans at Trader Joe's. I'm like, this is supposed to be like healthy or something. I don't know what Trader Joe's is supposed to be. When I was a kid, we had a Trader Joe's in California. I think it was like the Trader Joe's. It might have been the first.
Was it Monrovia?
No, it was Orange County. It was Santa Ana or Orange, Tustin, something like that. It was one of the first. And Trader Joe's was like the place that you walked to and it smelled like vitamins. You didn't buy groceries at Trader Joe's at all. So.
Well, but I mean, no, they don't have bulk, which is my thing. It's like, I'll buy the beans and everything in bulk. And you're the one who finally convinced me I could make dried black beans in my slow cooker.
I do now? Because I make these huge batches of black beans and then I can't eat them fast enough and nobody else eats them. I go to Sam's and buy the big like packs of cans of black beans because I just can't be troubled. So,
you can't be troubled. Well, I mean, so Publix is, I'm happy to hear you say that you skip around.
I'm not going
to
have time to spend a half an hour complaining about something before I do it. I just don't have time for it.
Well, I'm happy we can give you a place to complain.
The problem was, Kathy, when I went to Publix, I only had one grocery store to complain about. Now that I do my shopping, my boiled peanut shopping at Walmart, I do whatever I can find at Aldi that I can eat, but at Aldi, and everything else at Publix or Sam's Club. Now I have four grocery stores to complain about, and we can do a whole podcast on grocery stores.
I feel better
part one of seven.
I always have been that person who goes for many years now. I mean, it's Pasadena Produce, Rolling Oats, Trader Joe's, and then if I have to, Publix or Winn-Dixie. And it's I always felt like you were silently judging me for that. And I go to Aldi too.
No.
I follow several Aldi Facebook groups because people are obsessed with Aldi. And it's fascinating to watch.
Really?
Yes, there is a gluten-free.
Now I need to join these groups.
So there's something in Aldi called the Isle of Shame. Have you heard about this?
The Isle of Shame?
Yes. So there's an aisle in Aldi's. Every Aldi's has an aisle. It's not food. And it's seasonal and rotating stuff. Like they'll have dog beds. This week, I think they have like a rowing machine or they'll have t-shirts. I mean, it's just all these things. I actually got a really cool lap desk that I use while we're traveling from Aldi. It's the best lap desk I own, honestly. But it rotates. And this aisle, it's called the Isle of Shame because supposedly people end up, they go in for like red bag chicken or their oatmeal, and they come out with, you know, a portable air conditioner or a gold pantsuit. I mean, it's just always something different. And I've gotten, you know, some cool stuff. I don't really try not to get that much stuff. I'm trying to get rid of stuff. But when I need something, I check there. But it has a Facebook page, the All the Isle of Shame Facebook page.
Oh my God.
And people go, it's so much fun. It's so much fun to watch. And apparently there's even people in the group now when they go into Aldi, if they're in the Isle of Shame and they find something, or for whatever reason, they do a caw-caw, caw-caw, and other people will answer them back. And they will post on Facebook about how they did their first caw-caw and they were so excited and so nervous. And it's a whole subculture.
Last time we went to Aldi, so there's one not too far from our kids' school. My wife and I were like, we have like 10 minutes. We need to run to Aldi before we pick the kids up from school, and we don't want to be late. And we have a quarter in our change tray in the car that is our Aldi quarter, so we can get a shopping cart, right? Because you got to put a quarter in to release the shopping cart.
Oh, yeah. And
the quarter isn't there. I'm like, oh, we don't have our Aldi quarter. And so Monica's like, no,
we
don't
need it.
We're just grabbing a few things, right? So we dash into Aldi, and of course I'm trying, they don't have hand baskets, right? Because how would you secure those with a quarter? So I'm carrying blueberries, strawberries, carrots, potatoes, and we only have like 7 minutes to do our shopping. And it's like we're on supermarket sweep without a cart, and we're like dashing through the Aldi with no cart, and I'm trying not to drop things. We're getting in line, and of course you have to buy your bags too. So I'm like, oh, now I got to buy a bag, because I don't want to be like hobbling out of the store carrying all my groceries, you know, like I was stole them. So yeah, it's a different experience, but you know, it is what it is. This is what I'm reduced to.
And did you know, I mean, don't be reduced to it. There's an easy way to keep that quarter, because Aldi sells key rings that have quarter keepers in them. You can get them in all different designs.
You know what they should sell? They should sell a key ring that's like a quarter that pulls back up, you know, like the one you put a quarter with a hole in it with a string on it, and you drop it into a vending machine, and then, you know, you never did that. No. Okay.
No, but that sounds vaguely,
like
vaguely
theft?
Illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but yeah, Aldi quarter keepers. And there's actually a website that is called Isle of Shame. And they even have, this is an old article, new Aldi quarter keepers are about to drop and we want them all.
Is there like a social stigma that would come with having a key ring with Aldi on it? Would that be identifying me in society? It's not like a status symbol.
I don't like, know I, that like, it's a status
I, symbol.
I heard or
that
something,
like, really wealthy people will keep their iPhone with no case as a sign of their wealth. It's like having
because they can just afford to buy one when they drop it.
They can afford
day?
To drop it. Yeah, like it's like a thing to like not keep your iPhone in a case.
So I don't know exactly if it's like a stigma or a sign of something, but I think what you would find is there you would people in your life would suddenly start to talk to you about their Aldi experiences. Like right. You just admitted to me that you shop at Aldi, and I've let you know about the Isle of Shame. We are going to put this in the show notes though. So if you just have to find out about the quarter keepers.
This podcast turned into a therapy session. I'm not sure what it has to do with Florida.
We started with grocery store. Well, we started with Live Oak. This was all I asked you what your best Florida vacation ever was. And we went,
I thought
you know,
were trying
I stopped
to get
you
me to say something about Jacksonville, because we said we were going to talk about Jacksonville.
We can talk about Jacksonville next week. It'll be fun.
Yeah, apparently.
We don't have any more time, but Publix is a good, strong topic.
Yeah. And we had Matt Damon lined up as a guest this week, but we had to bump him.
We had to bump him to talk about Publix because really.
Apologies to Matt Damon.
He can come back next time. But
he's been on hold the entire time.
He's like, when do I get to speak? All right. So let's see. Live Oak, Swanee.
Winn-Dixie comes from Jacksonville.
Publix.
Not the only Publix. Not the only grocery store. Right.
In Florida. Right. Right. Yeah. Hitchcock's.
Hitchcock's.
Which I actually don't know where Hitchcock started. Yeah. People didn't know. They just didn't know. We sadly didn't talk about the Luckies that's gone now.
That was a hot minute. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's actually Hitchcock's now.
Oh, well.
It's
at the mall,
green,
right?
Hitchcock store.
It's like a grocery store at the mall.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's right next to Dick's Sporting Goods by the Portillo's that has had a line around the block since it opened, apparently. But Hitchcock's is a Gainesville store.
See, look at this.
Next time we do a show
on grocery stores in Florida accidentally, we should actually do some research.
Well, I mean, this is really, really great. It's enlightening. And I feel like I could do like a whole 60-minute talk on the history of Florida supermarkets now.
Yeah.
I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
So
you could take it down to your folks at Westminster.
I could do that. I'm like, folks, we're going to talk about Wildlife Corridor tonight.
We're going to talk about public. If you decide to do a forum on grocery stores in Florida, you'll have double the audience. It'd basically be like, we're going to talk about Medicare. You know, you're going to get all the rabid fans out.
Okay, you mock, but I just want to point out that you and I just spent like 45 minutes talking about grocery stores.
I never mock. I'm dead serious.
Felt mockish.
Yeah, that's just my normal tone of voice. It's a problem.
All right, so I think we've shopped this out, and we're gonna let everybody get back to their regularly scheduled life. But just as an aside, don't be afraid to go into a Hitchcock's if you're driving in Gainesville.
They are not an advertiser, nor is Publix, obviously.
Publix will probably never advertise. But we do thank you for coming to the Florida Spectacular today, where Florida is
shopping is a pleasure.
That's right. We've been your hosts. I'm Kathy Celestri.
John Kyle.
And we'll see you next time, where we promise it will be fairly less grocery heavy. Have a great week.